I'm Jim Bullock. When I heard that you were going to do this today, I took the letter up to my bedroom and cried. Reconciliation, healing is so needed in our world today. And in Sunday school that week, we had the story of Joseph and his brothers, coming back at the end of the story of Genesis, and the brothers revealing what had happened to the youngest son. And this brought out tears to both sides, and it enabled Joseph to say, "You are my brothers." Beautiful story about reconciliation. Scripture is very much about reconciliation. Stephen gave a wonderful story of the whole thing that happened here. But at one part of it that I didn't share because I didn't know, okay? 2.5 years ago, my niece found in a book, Famous Speeches of the Civil Rights Era, by Houck and another author. And in the book was a sermon by my father that I didn't know he gave. And it was given to the Memphis Presbytery in the Old Southern Church in 1958. He had been called to First Presbyterian Church, Jackson, Tennessee, in 1957. The sermon came out of Corinthians. God has reconciled us through Jesus Christ. God has broken down the walls between God and humanity with love. And we are called to be reconciled with each other, to show forth that love, and to overcome all walls, race, class, and today, for me, sexism and lifestyle, every kind of wall. We are all children of the Father, and we need reconciliation. I came to Jackson, Tennessee with already a sense of calling. I wanted to be a pastor in a sense of the social gospel. I saw my dad doing what he did and wanted to do the same. My father in 1958 had the incident that's in the book. An integrated group came to Union College in Jackson, Tennessee, a black school, and they wanted to come to church, and they called him the night before, and he said, "Sure, come and worship with us." They came, and I do remember this till this day. Some of the people in Jackson First Pres walked out, and their faces were so angry. I remember those faces. And the session, the board of the church was called, and the session of First Pres voted to close the church to Afro-Americans. My father had it written into the sessional records that he was adamantly opposed. And this is what happened. He stayed there 17 years and loved that church into being open to all God's people. And it is today. You look at his the newsletter, you look at what they do in the community. And so I came I didn't have anything, any background. I was just sort of joining a call. No, I came because I have already sense of calling. And in my church, I learned those being a tiny minority standing up in love before segregation. My Sunday school teacher, Paul Harlan, he owned a golf garage. He was one of these small, the minority, part of this small minority. And then my pediatrician was a part of this small minority. They stayed and loved that church to being open to all God's people. And oh, I want to say today, we need that today. So I came with that kind of background, and quickly as I came on a Southwestern campus, I was brought into a fraternity, and it was a time of me coming into my own and who I was going to be. And I was part of Westminster Fellowship, the Presbyterian Youth. I was very into that. I'd been the president of my youth group in senior highs at First Pres. We passed around the book, Honest to God, and we sought to be transparent. Oh, the church needs to be transparent today. And so we went to Triennium, and it was up north, and you still go to Triennium. It's a big youth conference, and we were been up to the mountain to this conference, and we came down in a bus through Tennessee, and these segregated restaurants just disturbed us. We were upset. What was going on here? So when we got back, I started eating and drinking at the wrong places and sitting on the back of the bus. I, on my own, started to resist segregation. And my fraternity brother, Stephen Richardson, the president of the student body, said they're having a group over at Lemoyne, wanting our college students to work at integration in Memphis. And so I went. He and I, we were one of the few white guys there. And lo and behold, this introverted kind of guy got asked to be vice president of the group. And I became a part of that group. And it pulled me over the wall of like the Help movie. I'd grown up with that kind of southern kind of background, to being friends with folks in the Afro-American community, meeting in businesses, going into areas I'd never been before. And then James Lawson, we were given the invitation to come to his church to do this nonviolent Christianity kind of workshop, and we decided that's something we ought to do. And my future wife, Irvin, and I, we were dating at the time. We went to that. James Lawson's study became the most valuable study I ever did in my whole life. It affected my whole life. Love your enemies. Do good to persecute you. Learn how to face hatred and people spitting on you and people trying to hurt you, and how to fall down so you could protect yourself. How you could protect yourself if they took a cigarette and sought to put it into you. We role-played that out, and we never thought, well, we're going to go out and get that that happened to us today. No, we just had it in our heads as we tried to figure out what to do. And so we came up with a soft approach of take a friend to church. And I was taken to an Afro-American church and welcome. And Joe Purdy and I decided to come here. And somebody asked me today, have you ever been inside? Yeah, I had come here. I was just a regular college student. In my day, college students drifted around from church to church, and we had our fellowship in the college, and so that I had been here. So Joe and I came up the steps. We had no idea what was going to happen to us. We were just ready for whatever came. And then the ushers or the deacons blocked the doors. And then they asked us, why are you here? We said, we're here to worship the Lord. And You know the whole story from the book about Job being asked if he was from Africa. He was from Africa. And if he said he was, we would have been ushered in. But in the conversation, he revealed he was American. And they revealed they weren't going to let us in. And then he took his hand and he looked down at it and he says, because of the color of my skin. And we stayed there talking, and then the deputy showed up behind us. And I, you know, my knees began to shake, and I remember that shaking. I wondered if I got here today, they'd be shaking again. I mean, it was scary. We were innocent. We were just people, short-haired people, wearing Sunday clothes, doing what we felt like was the right thing to do the Lord's way. And so we went back and got other friends to join us. 30, 40 of my friends in Southwestern came and joined us. And until this book came out, I never called myself a civil rights organizer. But the truth is, that's what I was. And so I now can say, you're looking at a civil rights organizer. But truthfully, it was just inviting my friends to come along. And I was passionately into this. I think it was a calling to me. And I hope if you want to do reconciling things today, you figure out your special calling. That's why we had the passion. That's why we came back again and again. That's why I determined I was ready to die in front of here. Because the Lord had called me to do this. And it helped me out in my sense of calling coming here. So, we asked Dr. Pritchard he called if he could come. We said, yes, if you followed our disciplines, we would meet at the library steps and pray, and then we would come over here. I would talk to the people gathered about it being not a angry demonstration. This was to be yourself and to love your way in. And I became the one who was to take out anybody who did not live that out as we came up the steps. I never took out anybody. In retirement, guess what? My big thing now is I mentor juvenile justice kids, and anger management is my... It needs to be taught all over the world. Anger management. It needs to be taught to everybody. So, and then what happened to me is finally it got to be graduation. It's time for me to figure out what I was going to do when I graduate. I asked to be in a Peace Corps, and I was accepted, and I was to go to South America, and I was to be training out in California, and my draft board sent me my classification, and it was A1, and I was petrified. What had happened, I didn't know. Peace Corps people were given a deferment. Everybody was. But my draft board was headed by my dad's clerk of session, and he had called a secret meeting of the draft board where they had talked about what I was doing over here and decided to give me A1 status and let the Army straighten out my mind. So we appealed, and I went on into the Peace Corps. And so I never heard much after that because I was training to go to South America. And I was in South America. They put me in the poorest town in all of South America because I told them what I was doing here. And they wanted me to really meet the challenges. So I went on to meet many different kinds of challenges and walls, reconciliation, tearing down the walls, and all the way. It has been a really an exciting kind of journey that I've been led through in my life. And look, if this hadn't had happened here, I might have missed a lot of what has been very exciting in life. I would have, maybe wouldn't have come to know myself as what I found. So thank you for bringing this together. You'll help me. I want to learn more ways of reconciliation. I'm here today to learn more ways to take it back to where I live in St. Augustine. The world cries out for reconciliation. The world needs a lot of tears of healing. Thank you.